What we just heard the deacon proclaim are the Beatitudes, the beginning of the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel and the beginning of the most famous sermon ever delivered, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we've heard the word Beatitudes all our lives. And yet, what does Beatitude mean? Well, it means an attitude, disposition, or persistent virtue, which Jesus tells his disciples is the true path to holiness and happiness. And in fact, some translations have each beatitude beginning with the words, happy are they, as opposed to blessed are they. Now, the Beatitudes are beautifully rich and complex. And to be honest with you, to the young people here, when I was your age, I understood them so much less than I do now. And I pray that 20 years from now, if I'm still around, I'll understand them so much more. We spend our whole lives thinking about them and praying about them and trying to live them more and more. There's so much to say, so I have to really restrain myself and focus on a couple of things. The young people, some of them come to Mass every day. They know how I can go on and on, right? You don't have to answer that. First, I want to compare them with the Ten Commandments because they fulfill the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments start off with, except for one of them, honor thy father and thy mother, a very important one. But the rest of them, the other nine, start off with, thou shalt not. They sound like Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And we need to know what we shouldn't be doing. Absolutely. They are negative statements for the most part that tell us when we're getting off the path that leads to God and away from the center of God's will. The Beatitudes, however, are positive statements. Blessed and happy are you when you do this. Holy are you when you do that. For example, the fifth commandment states, thou shalt not kill. While the seventh Beatitude states, blessed are the peacemakers. Because if you're about promoting peace, then you certainly aren't killing. Similarly, the eighth commandment states, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, don't lie. The Beatitude states, specifically the fourth one, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice. So, if you're pursuing righteousness and justice, then you're certainly not lying. You're promoting the truth. So rather than, as the commandments do, tell us when we get off God's path, the Beatitudes shine a bright light on the path that leads to Jesus. And in fact, we should be walking with Jesus. Second thing I'm going to mention is the Beatitudes exceed, they go beyond the commandments, and in doing so, they contradict what we would call conventional wisdom, in the worst sense of the word. Worldly wisdom, in the sense that the world's wisdom contradicts God's wisdom much of the time. For example, worldly wisdom states, blessed are the powerful. Blessed are those who are feared. This kind of wisdom says, you know, do it to them before they do it to you. Look out for number one. Don't worry about how many people you walk over on your way to the top. Or, blessed are those who can afford to buy a lot of expensive luxuries they don't need. Or, when somebody wrongs you, boy, make them pay for it. This can be the wisdom of the world. We know that. The Beatitudes say, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who turn the other cheek. Blessed are those who forgive, are merciful. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know that a lot of stuff, expensive stuff, is not the way to happiness, and our only possession is God. Worldly wisdom does not lift our eyes up to heaven. Therefore, worldly wisdom is ultimately a dead end. But the Beatitudes, being God's wisdom, lift our eyes to heaven and the road that leads to eternal life. But, and these young people will learn, and are learning in fact, maybe we learn it, the tough lesson, more in our formative years than we ever do with all the peer pressure we have to put up with. When we buck conventional wisdom, we pay for it. It's great to buy into quick and easy satisfactions like the world promises. And when we do that, certainly we get accepted by the majority. We become more popular. It's a temptation, right? But Jesus says, don't do that when it contradicts my plan for you. Don't do that when it contradicts the road to happiness, true happiness, and holiness. St. Paul says the same thing in today's second reading. While the Beatitudes promise no easy gratification the way the world does and no guarantee that we'll be accepted, it does guarantee that we will be persecuted and thought foolish and weak. Because St. Paul tells us that God chooses the weak, or what the world looks at as weak, and what the world looks at as foolish, to shame those who think themselves really strong and really wise, and in truth are not. If we remain faithful, we will eventually be vindicated. But to stay faithful and strong, we need Christ's strength in us, and we receive it most powerfully. There is no other way we can be fortified by the strength of God than to come, for us Catholic Christians, to the Holy Mass and receive the very life of Christ as our food for the soul. And the more powerful our experience of Mass, the more powerfully we experience the strength of God and the stronger we become. Now, this leads me to do something that I have been wanting to do for years, and I just haven't got around to it. I'd like to think it's all in God's time, but maybe I was just lazy. But finally, I'm introducing what's called the practice of using a Mass journal. And maybe I can talk about this with the faculty, but this would be a great thing for the young people, the students too, because they come to Mass during the week. This is something, you know, God knows where this got its start. Probably it's ages old. But Matthew Kelly, who's the prolific, great Australian Catholic writer, has really promoted this through the last 20 years. And this is Mass journals, and I got to confess right now, and this is a great problem to have. I bought a whole bunch of them as gifts to the parish, and they're all gone. Don't worry, we'll get more for next week. And I got them from Matthew Kelly's organization called Dynamic Catholic. But how do you use these? Well, Matthew Kelly says, get to Mass early enough to say a prayer. And this is the prayer. God, show me one way in this Mass I become a better version of myself this week. Which is Kelly's way of saying become holier, more like Jesus, a better person. Say that prayer and expect an answer during the Mass. Not necessarily from the homily. It can be from a hymn or a prayer or one of the intercessions or anything. But expect God to answer the prayer. And when he answers the prayer, you have permission to take time to write it down. And this is why I ordered these. I mean, you can use anything for a Mass journal. You can bring in any notebook, or you can even use one of these with a notes application. But somebody gave me some money and said, Father, spend this on something unusual, something special for the parish. And it was just about the amount that I thought I would spend on these. Going to have to spend more, but that's all right. And these are so great because they're a nice size, they're not burdensome to carry in, but they're just big enough where you can write that one thought on one side of the page here. And on the other side, there's an excerpt, a reflection from one of Matthew Kelly's books, one of his masterpieces called Rediscover Catholicism. And so you take a Mass journal next week and use it. And expect to have your experience of the Mass profoundly deepened, because Kelly says it happened for him and it's happened for so many people who have wrote into him and said, this was a game changer. And Kelly firmly believes that if people in the United States would be doing this, it would revolutionize the church in this country. Let's do our part to prove him right. And let's know that we have to live the Beatitudes more profoundly. And this is one of the ways we can do it. And Lord knows we all need to do it. We all need to be. I've been focusing on that beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers. And I hate to bring up bad, unpleasant things at Mass, but I mean, that's my job too. We need peace. We need the peace of Christ. I mean, if there's one thing we've seen in this past week, whether it's the violence in California or Iowa or in Memphis, we need a game changer. We need disciples of Christ to be the light and the leaven and the salt that transforms our society. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. And Lord knows that we need our upcoming generations to carry the torch. And Trinity Catholic Academy, you know, a lot of my brother priests, I hate to say this, but, you know, they say, oh, you've got a school down there, that's another responsibility. Well, the school is filled with self-directed, dedicated students, teachers, and faculty. You know, I just let them do their thing and provide a little fatherly guidance when I needed to. And the thing of it is, it's not a drain. It's a source of energy for me and for anybody who has anything to do with the school. It's life-giving. And we should be real happy and thankful to God that we have the school and that we have the students and the faculty and the administration, because it's a gem. Let's live the Beatitudes. Let the young people show us the way. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. God love you.